Good morning and welcome to worship with the people of Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence among us, whether it is here in the sanctuary assisting with worship or virtually online. We trust that the power of God and the Spirit of God connects us and unites us and binds us together over whatever means we are gathered today. We have quite a few announcements this morning. The first is that today, immediately after worship, before Neil, our assisting minister, offers the dismissal, we will convene our annual meeting to approve the audits. After worship, we invite you to drive through the parking lot to vote on those and to receive communion. We are offering Wednesday evening Lenten services virtually online this year. There are a group of Davidson County Lutheran churches who have come together to create a service that has been adapted from the Holden Evening Prayer. And each week, different pastors from different congregations are offering the meditation on the upcoming Sunday's Psalm. And this week, this Wednesday, I will be offering the meditation for that. The link will be available Wednesday on Facebook, and we will send it out to our email list. If you are not receiving emails from the church office regarding announcements and other things related to the life of the church, and you would like to, please reach out to Latifa or I and give us your current email address. And if you do not have email, also let us know that. We are going to create a system of phone calling so that when those emails do go out with announcements, that those that don't have email will receive a call from someone updating them. One more announcement, and that is that on Sunday mornings during Lent, I'm offering a brief time with children on Zoom. We read a Bible story together, pray together. It has been absolutely delightful. And if you would like to join that, if you have children that you would like to be a part of that, please join us. We would love that. We've got a few birthdays coming up this week. Harold Beck, Cheryl Walser, Denny Dietrich, and Chip Blower. Also, Archie and Joanne Turner have their anniversary this week. Let us pray for them. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, Amen. Two final updates. One, our beloved Bill Roberts is at the hospice home here in Lexington. And so please remember him and his family in prayer this week as they are walking through some very dark, dark times. And a reason for celebration and joy. This week, the Cecil family will welcome baby Kate into their lives, and so the prayer ministry has knit or crocheted a beautiful little blanket for her. And so if we can just pause for a moment, if you'd like to lift your hand up since you can't place your hand on it at your screen or here in the sanctuary, and just offer a brief prayer for the Cecil family. Amen. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Thank you. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, now and forever, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of us all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, and comfort and defend us, gracious Lord.
Let us pray. O God, by the passion of your blessed Son, you made an instrument of shameful death to be for us the means of life. Grant us so to glory in the cross of Christ that we may gladly suffer shame and loss for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ our Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. At this time, I'd like to invite the children to come a little bit closer to the screens for their children's chat. Making promises is really easy. I promise to be kind. I promise to not lie. I promise to do my homework. I promise to eat all my fruits and vegetables. But keeping promises is a lot harder, isn't it? We really want to do a lot of the things that we promise to do, but it's hard for us to keep promises. Well, today, in the scripture stories that we are about to read, we read about God, who is the ultimate promise maker and promise keeper. God promises to be with us no matter how many times we break our promises to God. God promises to be with us and stay with us forever, and God keeps that promise to us. And there is another time that I want to talk about promises, and that is at baptism. I'm standing here at the baptismal font where so many of you were baptized. And we know that in our baptism, God makes promises to us. We become God's children. God forgives us of our sins. And no matter what we do or don't do, say or don't say, our whole life long, nothing can ever undo our baptism. Nothing can ever not make us God's children. But also in baptism, we make promises to one another. And sometimes we are so busy reading it in our hymnal, making those promises, that I wonder if sometimes we forget that we make promises to each other in baptism. And so when you were baptized, your parents made promises to help you grow in the Christian faith and life. They made that promise to you. And your church, your congregation, made promises to you. They promised to support you and pray for you in your new life in Christ, which is your whole life long. And we make those promises to each other too. It's not just that people make them to us. We make them to others. And so I thought this might be a lovely way to remind us that God makes promises and always keeps them. And we make promises to each other. And although we find it hard to keep those promises, God will help us. God will forgive us when we don't. And God will help us to keep those promises. So I just want to lift up the promise that we make in baptism, where the pastor would say, "People of God, do you promise to support and pray for this person in the Christian faith and life?" And we all say we do. And I hope that we can grow more and more into keeping that promise our whole life long. Let us pray. Good morning, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for making promises. And thank you for keeping your promises. Thank you for the gift of baptism. Help us to keep the promises we have made to one another, to support and pray for each other. We love you, God. Amen.
The first reading this morning comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 17. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will make you exceedingly numerous." Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations, and I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout the generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you." God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall now call her Sarah. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall give rise to nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her." The word of the Lord. The psalm today is from the 22nd psalm. "You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him. Stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. For he did not despise or abhor the affliction of the afflicted. He did not hide his face from me, but heard when he cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will pay before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. To him indeed shall all be who sleep in the earth bow down before him. Shall bow all who go down to the dust, and I shall live for him. Posterity will serve him, future generations will be told about the Lord and proclaim his deliverance to a people yet unborn, saying that he has done it. The second lesson day comes from the book of Romans, the 4th chapter. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through righteousness of faith. It is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs. Faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. For he is the father of all of us. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of God, in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Hoping against hope, he believed that he would become the father of many nations, according to what was said. So numerous shall your descendants be, he did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead, for he was about 100 years old. Or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb, no distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Therefore his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now the words, "it was reckoned to him," were written not for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be reckoned to us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was handed over to death for our trespasses and was raised for our justification. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 8th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Jesus said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at the disciples, Jesus rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Jesus called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Here we are, 12 days into our Lenten pilgrimage. It was 12 days ago that we were invited to the discipline of Lent, and it was 12 days ago that many of us were marked with ashes in the sign of the cross on our forehead, remembering that from dust we came, and to dust we shall return. And here, almost exactly in the middle of Mark's gospel, Jesus tells his followers what it will look like to follow him. They must take up their cross. For those of us who have been marked with the cross in our baptism, for those of us this side of Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection, we hear Jesus' words much differently than the original hearers of Mark's gospel would have heard them. For the disciples and for the first century followers of Jesus, death on a cross was a form of execution used for criminals. A criminal would carry their own cross to the site of their execution as a sign of submission to Roman power and oppression. Death on a cross was incredibly shameful. It was horrifying, it was torturous, it was humiliating, and absolutely excruciating. But for us, this side of Jesus' death and resurrection, the cross is but a symbol. Every church has one, beautifully carved out of wood or of brass. We all have different jewelry. We have necklaces and earrings and rings and pins, and some of them ornate and some of them simple. But we have made the cross beautiful. And I think in doing so, we have lost a lot of what Jesus means when he says, "Take up my cross and follow me." Jesus didn't offer for his disciples then or now to just take up a symbol. He called them and us to take up our cross, an excruciating, shameful, horrifying symbol of death. And what he's really calling us to is to be so absolutely committed to a life of discipleship, following the way of Jesus, that we are completely willing to offer all that we have and all that we are to following Jesus. This is the truth of Jesus' words. But we, just like Peter, we don't want it to be the truth. Very clearly, Jesus told his disciples that he would undergo great suffering and rejection by the religious and political authorities of his day and be killed. He also said that after 3 days he would be raised again, but I think they were so stunned and shaken that they may not have even heard that part of what Jesus has said, because the words suffering, rejection, and being killed shook them to their very core. And Peter didn't want any of it. Peter wanted Jesus to be King of Kings. The suffering servant that Isaiah prophesies and that Jesus describes in this passage, he describes himself to be, Peter didn't want it. He had expectations of what he wanted the Messiah to be, and Jesus did not meet those expectations. In fact, Jesus did not meet the expectations of most people in his lifetime. And if we are honest with ourselves as 21st century American Christians, Jesus doesn't meet our expectations either. And certainly the life of self-sacrificing discipleship for the sake of our neighbor isn't the life of discipleship that we want either. Listen to this poem by Stuart Henderson called "Splintered Messiah." I don't want a splintered Messiah in a sweat-stained, greasy robe. I want a new one. I couldn't take this one to parties. People would say, "Who's your friend?" And I'd give an embarrassed giggle and change the subject. If I took him home, I'd have to bandage his hands because the neighbors would think he's a hooligan. I don't want his cross in the hall. It doesn't go with the wallpaper. I don't want him standing there like a sad ballet dancer with holes in his tights. I want a different Messiah, streamlined and inoffensive. I want one from a catalog, who's as quiet as a monastery. I want a package tour Messiah, not one who takes me to Golgotha. I want a King of Kings with blow waves in his hair. I don't want the true Christ. I want a false one. No one wanted or expected a suffering and dying Messiah to deliver them from Roman oppression. But this is what Jesus taught, and it's who he was. Like Peter, we don't like what Jesus teaches all the time, and we don't always like who Jesus is. We don't want our Messiah to suffer and to be vulnerable. We don't want to suffer and be vulnerable. The call to discipleship involves self-sacrifice, dying to self, and taking up our cross, just as Jesus did. Our minds are to be set on godly things, not on human things. This is the kind of discipleship that Jesus called his disciples to, and it's the kind of discipleship that he calls us to today. Our permissive, commercialized society says, indulge yourself. And Jesus says, deny yourself. Our selfish nature says, avoid pain at whatever cost. And Jesus calls us to take up our cross. We so easily do our own things and demand our own individual rights. And Jesus calls us to lay down our life, to lose it, and to follow him. The good news, brothers and sisters, is that we do not have to figure this out on our own, and we don't have to do it on our own. In baptism, by water and God's word, we are joined to Christ, to all of him, including the parts that we want to overlook, his suffering and death on a cross. We are marked with the cross of Christ, and we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, who gives us our new identity in Christ. We are given the Holy Spirit to sustain us in God's grace as we grow into our baptismal identity as God's children throughout our whole life. This gift is given to us by God in faith. Martin Luther said that the cross alone is our theology. The cross, a symbol of death and shame, pain and suffering and humiliation. The cross we are marked with in our baptism. The cross we are called to carry our whole lives long in the life of discipleship. Being a follower of Christ is dying and rising. It's denying ourselves and confessing Christ. It's losing in order to win and dying in order to live. I know this isn't the way that the world chooses to live, and it's not the way that we would choose to live, but it's the way that we are called to live. There's no promise in the life of faith that if we follow Christ, we will not have to be vulnerable, that we will not have to suffer, that we will not have hardship. But the promise we have, and the promise that God always keeps, is that Christ is with us in the midst of everything we go through. We do not endure anything alone, because God emptied God's very self into Christ for us. And Christ not only suffers for us, but Christ suffers with us. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us affirm what we believe by use of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and a life everlasting. Amen. Relying on the promises of God, we pray boldly for the church, the world, and all in need. Your gift of grace to all people, God, give confident faith to the people baptized that they may follow you wholeheartedly. Give new believers joy in your promises. Give hope and courage to those who suffer for their faith. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
All the ends of the earth worship you, from galaxies to microorganisms. Preserve your creation. Teach humanity to wonder at your works and to join you in sending to creation's well-being. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
You rule over the nations. Raise up advocates for peace and justice within and between nations. Give life where hope seems dead. Call into existence new realities we cannot even imagine. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
In Jesus, you join humanity in suffering and death. Reveal to all the depth of your love shown on the cross. Bring vindication for victims of injustice, exploitation, and oppression. Accompany all who suffer in body, mind, and spirit. Restore all who are sick or grieving, especially Gary, Aldine, Teresa, Jean, Bill, Harold, Michael, Neil, Steve, Herbert, Bobby, and Jenna. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You made Abraham and Sarah the ancestors of a multitude of nations. Bless grandparents, parents, and foster parents, and the children who look to them for care and guidance. Console those who deal with infertility, parents who have entrusted their children to adoption, and children longing to be adopted. Equip ministries and services to families. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We await the day of Christ's coming in glory. Lead us by the example of all the saints whom you have called to take up their cross and follow you, that together we may find our lives in you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. We entrust ourselves and all our prayers to you, O faithful God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May the peace of Christ be with you always. At this time, we invite you to bring your offerings to the Lord. You may do so online on our website. You can text those in. You can mail them into the church, or when you come for drive-through communion today and to offer your ballot for the meeting, you can bring your offering to the table.
Thank you. Let us pray. Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your holy creation. Turn our hearts toward those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care, and prepare us now to feast on the bread of life. Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, 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 Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. He gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Blessed are you, O God of the universe. Your mercy is everlasting, and your faithfulness endures from age to age. Praise to you for creating the heavens and the earth. Praise to you for saving the earth from the waters of the flood. Praise to you for bringing the Israelites safely through the sea. Praise to you for leading your people through the wilderness to the land of milk and honey. Praise to you for the words and deeds of Jesus, your anointed one. Praise to you for the death and resurrection of Christ. Praise to you for your Spirit poured out on all nations. O God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and on these gifts of bread and wine. Bless this feast. Grace our table with your presence. Come, Holy Spirit. Reveal yourself to us in the breaking of bread. Raise up as the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us. Send us forth burning with justice, peace, and love. Come, Holy Spirit. With your holy ones of all times and in all places, with the earth and all its creatures, with the sun and moon and stars, we praise you, O God, blessed Trinity, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good. kneel. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. O God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and the blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy.
The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
As united people of God under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
We'll go ahead and call the congregation meeting to order. The purpose of this meeting is to approve the yearly audits that have been done by our audit committee. Can we get a motion? Motion to approve. Got a second from Michael Wilson. If there's any questions, we'll try to address them at the drive-through as you're driving through. We will have copies to pass out to anyone that wants them. And we'll take the votes from 11:45 to 12:45. Got a motion to adjourn the meeting at 12:45 after the drive-through by Michael Wilson, and a second by Mr. Neil Clark. We'll go ahead and proceed outside to the vote.
Go in peace, serve the poor.
Amen.